Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I sit down with writer, director, actor, and producer Lee Wannell. Most of you may know Lee from the Saw and Insidious movies, where he wrote and acted in both of those. I talked to Lee about his new film, The Mule, that's premiering at South by Southwest this weekend, screening starting Sunday, March 9th. It was great to get to know Lee and just really talk film with him as well, and really understand, you know, kind of where he sees film going and what inspires him to make films. I've always been a fan of Lee's work with both Saw and Insidious. He also played a small role in Matrix Reloaded, so we unfortunately didn't really get to talk about that, but it was cool to really get to know Lee and find out about this crazy new movie, The Mule, that's actually based on a true story that took place in the 80s. I hope any of you that are listening that are going to be out of South by Southwest this weekend will get a chance to get out there and go see that. As many of you know, we've been working hard the last several months on our show, The Job Interview, and the pilot episode premiered this week, so hopefully all of you have had a chance to take a look at that. If not, it is on the Mic website as well as YouTube. You can just search The Job Interview pilot episode and it should pull right up for you. I've had just fantastic feedback, so I'm so thankful that so many of you have had a chance to check it out and have really enjoyed what we put together. We also have the Indiegogo campaign going for that, so help us fund the rest of the season, be able to bring you a lot of great episodes. There's a lot of great prizes with it, and we hope that you'll be able to donate and that we can get to know some of you guys through those donations. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. Whether you're a fan or not of the Saw and Insidious movies, I know you'll be a fan of Lee. Like I said, really, really nice guy. Great to get to know him, and I'm really excited to see this film, The Mule. Again, starts this Sunday at South by Southwest, running through Tuesday at South by Southwest. Get out and see that. You can find all the information on those screening times under the South by Southwest page under the film category. Just look up the festival lineup and you'll see it right there for you. We'll also have all those links up on our website so that you can go right to that and find out exactly what time it's playing. So enjoy this episode with Lee Wannell. How are you today, Lee? How are you? What was that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, Lord. Sorry, go ahead. Okay.
Where are you calling from today, Lee?
I'm calling from Hollywood, literally Hollywood. It's a trailer house. I'm actually working on the trailer to The Mule right now.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, with Angus, so it's good, it's fun. It's an interesting film. It's hard to classify the film genre-wise, so it's kind of tough to cut a trailer for it.
Yeah, I was looking up a little bit about it, and I kind of enjoyed part of the description of it that kind of made me laugh, kind of knowing some of your previous work, where it had described it, I believe, as a darkly comedic.
Yeah.
I thought, coming from Lee, I'm interested to see darkly comedic.
Yeah, I think it is. It's essentially a film about a drug mule refusing to take a shit. I mean, that's what the movie's about. So the police, the criminals that own the drugs, everyone in this community is waiting for this guy to go to the toilet. And just that concept in itself makes people chuckle. But hopefully we've turned that concept into a thriller. Rather than playing the toilet element of it for laughs, we've turned it into the ticking clock of the movie.
I like that. That a lot.
Yeah, it's not a psychological thriller, it's a scatological thriller.
how did you come up with the idea for this film?
It was actually a friend of ours, Angus and I, who co-wrote the film together with another guy, Jamie Brown, who's a friend of ours. Jamie had written a draft of the script when he finished film school. He's a great writer that we know in Melbourne, and he had based the script very, very loosely on the true story of a guy in New Zealand, a drug mule who was caught at the airport, and the police said to him, well, we suspect you've got drugs in your stomach, and so his solution to the whole thing was just to not go to the toilet, and he lasted 21 days not going to the toilet, escaping this heroin inside him, and taking that central conceit, Jamie wrote the script, you know, changed all the characters, set it in Australia, and then Angus and I came on board and ended up working with Jamie and and working on the script for a long time. So it's been a long time coming. We've been working on it for a good 7 years.
Oh, wow. So is that usually the process for you when you're writing? Does it usually take that long, or was it just this particular story kind of took that long to build up?
It really depends. It's project to project. I've run the gamut. I've worked on films that from me putting pen to paper to the release was, 7 months, which is an abominably short time to write a film, do pre-production, shoot it, edit it, finish it, score it, and put it out. I mean, so that's when you're just moving like a bullet train. And then I've worked on other films. One particular script that I'm thinking of, it's a bigger budget, it has to go through the studio system, and that's just been going for years and years. I mean, who knows when that'll get made. So I've sort of done everything. There doesn't seem to be one way to skin a cat. It really depends on the project. I think the reason it all took so long is that Angus and I live in different countries. He's in Australia. We would only work on it every now and again. It also takes a long time to get films off the ground in Australia. It's a smaller industry. So things just take a while. But now that it's finished, I think that South by Southwest is the perfect place to show it.
Yeah, South by Southwest always has a lot of great exposure for films. I know one of my favorite films this last year, I think it was the Audience Award that had won out there and did really well. I don't know if you ever saw Short Term 12 this last year.
I did see Short Term 12. I saw it. I actually watched it a couple of months ago on demand. I was just having a conversation with someone just this morning, actually, about the fact that nobody is going to the movies anymore. They're only going to the movies if it's The Avengers or, Paranormal Activity, basically. It seems like all those films that I used to go to independent cinemas to see in the 90s, I remember, I don't know if you were the same, but I remember, as a teenager and while I was at university, I was constantly going to these independent theaters and watching films like Short Term 12, and that just doesn't happen anymore. I think that the thing that has saved films like Short Term 12 is on demand and iTunes, just being able to download the film. And so that's where I see all my, that's how I see all my independent films these days, is just at home. And I love Short Term 12. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, and I can definitely relate with the lack of, even being able to go to indie cinema anymore. I mean, while I was living out in Los Angeles over the summer, it's like I could see just about everything. So I saw Short Term 12 twice while out there, including even screening at the Academy, and then to come back to coming back to Salt Lake,
yeah.
It played for 2 weeks in Utah. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And then it probably played for 2 weeks in one theater that was really hard to get to, and it's almost like the theater model for some of these independent films. It's making it difficult to go and see it. It's very difficult to drag yourself out of bed, drive to some theater in the middle of nowhere. It's only playing for 2 weeks, so you have this really short window of time to see it. But you know what? I actually think LA is not that dissimilar to what you're saying Utah is like. Like, a film will play at the Sunset Five for a couple of weeks. I think that on demand and iTunes are really the savior of these independent movies. Any independent film that I've seen over the past 6 months, whether it's Short Term 12 or In a World, whatever it is, I've watched it at home. And I think that is going to end up being the greatest thing that's ever happened to indie cinema.
Yeah, I've already started to see the benefits of it. I noticed, especially with Netflix and Hulu starting to do their Hulu original series for TV. Some of my friends and I decided, that was a TV pilot we were working on. We decided, we're going to try to launch a web show instead and try to do it through the whole binge watching. And I mean, we actually just released our pilot for it this week, and already we've seen, a lot of views coming really fast where we didn't expect anything right away. So
exactly.
That online content is just booming.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. I mean, the world is changing in terms of entertainment and how we view it. It's changing a lot. And obviously, music, that changed a while back. The tidal wave happened, and now we're living in a world where music is downloaded. And I think that is starting to happen in the world of film. It's just going to get stronger and stronger. The way television is now, with putting an entire series up in one hit. As you said, the binge-watching approach, I think, is going to become so popular with people. They're not going to want to sit around and wait a whole another week to see the next episode. So I actually think it's a really good thing. I think there is something sexy about a cinematic release. Like, a film that I wrote was just at Sundance. It was called Cooties. It's like a horror comedy.
Yeah, I actually tried to make it out to that and wasn't able to.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, when Lionsgate bought that film at Sundance, my big hope was that they would release it cinematically. Even though, you know, everybody's saying cinema is an outdated model, there is still something cool about getting that cinematic release. But I only want them to do it if it's, you know, 3,000 screen wide release. I don't want it to be showing for 2 weeks at one cinema in Utah, you know, the short-term 12 way. If that was going to happen, I'd just rather they just release it straight to iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of great films that have come out that way. And, I mean, it's sad because a lot of people miss some great films. One that even comes to mind that, I mean, it came out several years ago, before Netflix and Hulu were doing a lot, was Rain Over Me with Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for that film. I actually never saw it.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. I absolutely loved the story, but it just kind of breezed through theaters, didn't really do anything. And I was just checking it out because I was like, I hear this is a different type of Adam Sandler movie. I'm interested. And I absolutely loved it. One of the first film papers I ever had to write when I started film school, I wrote about that of it.
Nice. There you go. You owe Adam Sandler for that part of film school. He helped you out.
Yeah. And I think that's about as far as he'll take me.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, unless I can dress and drag. So with The Mule, are you guys planning then to try to push that for more of a cinematic release, or are you guys focused on just getting that, you know, to on demand and just kind of going through festivals with it?
Well, we don't really know. It's such early days with The Mule. The South by Southwest screening will be the first time that anyone has seen it anywhere in the world. That's our world premiere. So we really want to see what the reaction is, and I think we'll base a lot of our approach and our thoughts on the release on that screen, you know, depending on what type of reaction we get. We don't have a North American distributor at the moment, so these are all things that are very up in the air. We're not thinking ahead to how we're going to release it yet. We're really just trying to approach it really, really in a baby steps way.
Okay. So, now, I mean, if you kind of keep it going this festival route, I mean, are you planning to even bring that to Sundance next year? I know we just finished up with Sundance where you had Cooties up here. Is it something you would still consider?
I don't know. I think we're so happy with South by Southwest. I don't know if we go to any more festivals. I don't know if we'd take it to Sundance. I think that's too far away. I think we would want to see how it plays at South by and then maybe take it to Toronto. It really depends on what the reaction is. I feel like our approach and our next step is all going to be guided by the reaction at South by Southwest. I'm super excited about it, but also really nervous because I have no idea how the audience is going to react. There's so many wild card factors with this film. It's Australian, you know, it's set in the 80s, so the accents in the film, I mean, for all I know, it might require subtitles in America. But the accents in the film are that thick, and it's not a very conventional film. You know, with Cooties, there were certain commercial life rafts that you could hang on to. You know, it was a comedy that had, you know, Rainn Wilson and Elijah Wood in it. The Mule is just a really interesting film. It's a crime film, but it's also a black comedy. It's also a drama. It's about a tough subject matter, and there are some scenes in the film that are pretty tough to watch. I mean, we're talking about a movie about a guy refusing to take a shit. So there's a lot of stuff in there that is, I don't want to say controversial, but a lot of stuff that may turn people off. And I use the word may because I just don't know. Maybe it won't turn people off. Everything is just really up in the air at the moment until I see the film at South by Southwest in front of an audience.
So does that, when you see your film screened for the first time, What is that anticipation like when you're there to watch that crowd reaction? I mean, how do you prepare yourself for that first screening?
Oh man, it's tough. It's a mixture of elation and terror. It's both. I mean, I just did this in Sundance for Cooties, and it's such a great cathartic moment. I mean, this is why you do it. All that work, all that pushing shit uphill, writing a film, trying to get the money for it, shooting it, you know, trying to cut it together. All that work is just to get to this point where you put it in front of an audience. You know, a cold, unforgiving audience, which is what they should be. You know, they weren't there for the shoot. They don't know how many hardships you had to endure to get it to the screen. They don't care, and they shouldn't care. All they care about is whether it's a good film or not. And it's just so much fun to experience that. I mean, if I were the guy who directed a comedy and I screened it for an audience and nobody laughed, I guess I'd be crawling out of my skin. But thus far, I've had pretty good experiences. I usually spend a lot of the film pacing out in the lobby. I remember with The First Door, when we took that to Sundance, I didn't see any of it. I just waited out in the lobby and just paced around, kind of listening to people's reactions. I was just too nervous to be there. With The Mule, I think I actually will sit down with the audience and try to enjoy it with them. But yeah, it's very nerve-wracking, but also very exhilarating.
Yeah, I don't, and you mentioned the comedy, and you know that's with the show we just released. It's a comedy, and so it was that terror of, yeah, is anybody going to find this show funny? And yep. And until we got that yep. first comment on Facebook, it was kind of a sigh of relief. And it's like, all right, there's the first one. Now what about the rest?
Yes, exactly. I know. And then you find yourself getting up the next morning after the screening and just Googling the name of the show every 5 minutes after the screening at Cooties. I mean, I could not get off my phone. I just kept Googling Cooties reviews Sundance, and these reviews kept popping up. And it's an exciting time. I mean, it's why we do this. It's why you make stuff. It's to show it to people.
Right.
Get a reaction from them.
So now one cast member that I noticed you guys had on The Mule that kind of intrigued me was I noticed you guys cast John Noble. Most people are going to know from Lord of the Rings and Fringe, currently Sleepy Hollow. What is John's role in this?
It's hard to say without giving anything away. He plays a local crime lord in this community. The film is set in the outer western suburbs of Melbourne in 1983, and it's a low-income area. It's a lot of working-class people, blue-collar people. And John Noble plays the sort of local impresario who's maybe got his fingers in a few different pies. He's a bit of a criminal. And he does such a great job. I mean, he's such a menacing presence without having to say much at all. Just a look from him is pretty menacing. So we were super excited to get him. We know that he has a fan base from Fringe and Lord of the Rings, and he was just a great guy. I mean, everyone in the cast was a fantastic actor, but also a fantastic human. And that makes such a difference on a film set, as you know. If between takes you can actually chat to people and laugh and have a good time, it makes such a difference to the mood of the set. And that's what The Mule was like. You know, we didn't have anyone in there that was, you know, a diva or annoying. It was just a fantastic ensemble.
Yeah, that's always what you just have to hope for, as any cast comes together, is that everybody is going to just have that great positive attitude and be able to work well, and that it's gonna make the shoot go faster. And that was something that I really learned as I'd sat in a panel again for Short Term 12, listening to all the actors talk about working with Destin, and just how easy he made everything on the set. And as a young director, that really struck a chord with me, of making everything, you know, it has to you know, go smooth, and you have to treat everybody with respect and be able to have fun, but still get the job done.
Absolutely, and it should be fun. I mean, it's been said before, but it's not brain surgery. I mean, you're making a film, and even if the subject matter of the film is heavy, if it's not a comedic film, it's something very dark, that still doesn't mean that you can't have fun making it. It should be fun. You're making films, and it can be stressful, sure, but I want to make it my mission as I sort of move into directing, which is the next thing I really want to try. I want to make it my mission to cast not only the actors, but the crew for their attitude. You know, I want people who are enthusiastic, who are you know, respectful people. I just would hate it if anyone on the crew or in the cast was bringing down the mood of the set. And I've seen it happen. I mean, I acted in a film recently where the crew was fighting with each other, and it was just so painful. Just the morale on set was brought down so much. So yeah, it is really important, and we got really lucky with the fuel.
So I really look forward to seeing it, and I hope we get some screenings out here in Salt Lake, or I was hoping to be down at South by Southwest this weekend, and plans kind of got disrupted, so I wasn't able to make it down. So hopefully we see it out here soon. So now before we let you go, I have to ask. I noticed on IMDb that it shows that Saw 8 has now been announced that you'll be writing as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where that came from. I haven't heard anything about it. And you know, Lionsgate bought Judy, so I've been talking to them a lot lately. So they would have mentioned something to me, but I have not heard anything about Saw 8. And even if it is happening, I'm not writing it. So, yeah.
They just figured they'd throw it out in the universe and you'll get it. So it's great to talk to you today, Lee. And you know, I'm glad to get to know a little bit more about the Mule here. I hope everybody gets out and sees it. It looks like it's screening four times during South by Southwest, starting on Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, it is. The premiere is on Sunday, and then it's three more screenings after that. And check the internet on Monday. You might see the reviews. Then you'll know how I feel. If the reviews are good, you'll know I'm celebrating. If they're not so good, you'll know I'm bummed out.
So I'm sure they're going to be great. I mean, every film you've worked on, from Saw to Insidious, I mean, they've all been fantastic films. Insidious 2 scared the crap out of me. I actually screened that out of at the Chinese theater of all places.
Three right now. That's one sequel I am working on. So
perfect.
Yeah, for that.
Yes, I like I said, I screened that over at the Chinese theater, and having such a massive screen when that played. Absolutely terrified me.
Oh, well, thanks, mate. Thank you very much. And thanks for taking the time to chat to me about The Mule. It's definitely an indie film, and it's an Australian film, so I'm appreciative of anyone here in the States who wants to talk about it and is giving it any attention.
Yeah, of course. And we'll make sure that we get up all the links so everybody can check it out. I'm sure you guys will get the trailer up shortly here as well, so people can see that.
We're working on it right this second, so hopefully we will have something soon. And yeah, I really appreciate it, mate. Thanks very much.
Yeah, not a problem. Hopefully we'll connect soon out in Hollywood.
Yeah, man. Sounds great.
All right, well, thank you so much, Lee.
No worries, bro. Take it easy. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. We'll see you.
Cheers, mate. Bye.